IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme, The Voice of the Northwest, The 9 Till Noon Show with Greg Hughes.
All right, you're very welcome back to the programme. Good morning if you're just after joining us, and we've another busy 2 hours on the way. We're going to have a significant reflection on the weekend's GE action. Not to forget the hurlers, actually, by the way. They had quite a convincing win at the weekend as well. But yesterday it was all about the Donegal senior men's team seeing off Armagh in the most dramatic of fashions. I think they were level about 12 times, 20-20 full time, and then went on to win. On pens. Very exciting altogether. Some would say exciting, others would say an absolute nightmare to watch. And lots of you just texting in simply, Jimmy's winning matches. And yes, indeed, he is. Hi, Greg. Maybe with the elections coming up, you could find out what's happening with the building that used to be the Chernan Oak Bar. This must be in Letterkenny. Building work had commenced 3 years ago, but it's at a standstill for the last couple of years. The listener believes it's an eyesore at the entrance to the estate. Residents try and keep the estate clean and tidy and welcoming, but this caller believes that this is an unsightly scene when coming into the estate. Another listener says, hi, Greg. Do you ever get sick and tired hearing about inflation coming down every month? I must not understand what inflation means. I own a small shop and I can tell you that every single item that has come in my door for the last few years has only gone up in price. That is everything from bread, milk, all groceries, necessities. They've all gone one way and that's up. Nothing has come down in price. So how can they say inflation is coming down month on month? It's just based on bank rates or what? I must be stupid. Well, of course you're not stupid. The only thing my understanding is that, so say inflation is at 10%. A year, something that costs a euro goes up to a euro and 10 cents. But if they then say that inflation is falling to 5%, something that costs a euro is going up to a euro and 5 cents. So deflation is the only thing that would bring prices down. Unfortunately, inflation means that prices continue to go up. It's actually the rate of inflation that is the only thing that's coming down. So as I say, 10%, 1 euro goes up to 1.10. But if it comes down to even 3%, something that costs a euro goes up to 1 euro and 3 cents. And if you multiply that up to a basket full of shopping, you can see why. I think it really needs to be explained more, because sometimes I think news presenters or analysts talk of inflation coming down as if things are going down in price, but they're not. It's just the rate of increase is slowing. A caller says Ireland needs to join Britain in the Rwanda scheme to deter illegal immigrants coming here, or we will be run over or overrun. It's as simple as that. Well, I don't think it's actually quite simple to join the Rwanda scheme, and perhaps really tongue-in-cheek, Britain did offer Ireland the opportunity to join. Greg, I'm not surprised people have a grudge against candidates in the election when you see how the so-called democracy is being dished out to different parts of the world. The fact that Russia is the big black monster and at the same time Israel is killing thousands of innocent people, including 9,000 children, and America comes out with a statement that it was the Palestinians' fault and our government lies low for fear it will affect our lifestyle. That's that point. Speaking of election posters, Buncrana looks awful with the amount of posters up. No need for the half of them. Unfortunately, it seems that a lot of posters are being ripped down or vandalised, which is unfortunate. You might not like the posters or maybe even the posters' message, but I think they are a part of democracy as it is, and it's unfortunate to see them being abused and taken down and defaced. We'll have more on that a little later on in the show. I remember it was a big story at the time when there was one election poster damaged on a roundabout in Letterkenny, because it didn't happen very often. And now candidates all over the place are reporting their posters being damaged, and we'll speak to some of them, I think, a little later on. One of your guests on Friday said people are disillusioned by our political system, but it's because we, the Irish, have allowed it to happen. The public don't seem to check out party policies or pay too much attention to the draconian laws being slid through, and on election day go back to vote for the same party's government, who have little or no regard for the common working population. Another caller says, I'm definitely not voting some guy who's named after the much-needed Bonagree Bridge located in. Seriously. His posters are everywhere and were up weeks before anyone. Who is he and what's his... Okay, that's obviously referencing Senator Noel Blaine there. The original posters were advertising a public meeting, we're told. But that's up to you. That's democracy in action. You vote for who you wish. Speaking of votes, it was quite interesting to note as it relates to the Eurovision, and this is not necessarily talking about the competition, but talking about, you know, people's attitudes or what the public really think or what we're told the public really think. And the public vote contributed 50%, a little bit more than 50% of votes to the European Eurovision Song Contest songs. And maybe you're aware, you're not aware. The top song voted for by Irish, that by the Irish people, was Croatia. And the second most popular song was Israel's song. So they came out second in the public poll. And across the whole of the EU and anywhere that was able to vote, Israel was third in the public vote. So I don't know whether that's people opposed to the narrative that's out there, whether they believe it or not, or they just, it's a protest vote against their government of the time. I haven't a clue what it is, but the facts remain that the third place song in the public vote across all of Europe and the rest of the world was Israel. And the second place song in the public vote was, in Ireland, was Israel. Now we are joined on the programme by Leonard Watson, who is a family forum rep for Donegal North. Good morning, Leonard. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning. Morning, Greg. Thank you.
Right, we're speaking ahead of a family forum event taking place on Wednesday. And it is between 7 and 9 p.m. in the Radisson Blue Hotel, Letterkenny, promising an update from the family reps, the CDNT management and guest speakers. And we'll talk about all of that in a moment. But what is the situation as it relates to the current provision provisions within the Children's Disability Network? Because the last time I checked, you know, there were close on 40 vacancies in speech and language therapy, occupational therapy, physiotherapy, psychology. And this was right across a number of regions in the county. Of course, that's going to complicate access and timely access to these services. So have anything in, has anything improved in the first 5 months of this year, I wonder?
Sure, Greg, I was chatting to you last year and around recruitment, and it's probably myself and another family rep, when we went looking for these jobs, we couldn't find them, and there was a whole kerfuffle about that. But in fairness to the minister, she got her act together on that. Now, recruitment has gone very well. They brought the whole recruitment thing back in-house. So in other words, the interviews and that have been done in Donegal. The whole recruitment part has been done in Donegal. So we were getting people processed within probably 3 months, which was great. But we've just seen now, everything's kind of been moved back now towards Dublin again, and we're seeing a rapid slowdown now. Now you're looking at people being processed within six to 7 months. We're now going back to what it was, where it was taking nearly a year to get people interviewed. I know recently there was interviews held, and for the six people meant to turn up, only two turned up. That would tell me people just couldn't wait for these jobs to come up. So we need to get that back locally. The recruitment thing has to be back locally. You know, they were doing a great job. And Donegal North, Greg, we're probably at between 80 and 90% staff now. Mm-hmm. There's other parts of the county, yes, still struggling. But every part of the county is definitely seeing staff being taken on. And that is down to the pressure coming from the family reps and families on the HSE and on the local politicians to get their act together on this here, because we were always told nobody wants to work in Donegal. Well, we've banjacked that idea on it, because the amount of people applying for jobs is brilliant. Like, now, we're still in certain areas like psychology, now we're still struggling. We now have a psychologist back in Donegal North, where there's still two vacant positions. But again, we're moving forward, but we have to keep pushing this forward. Mm-hmm. But it's just then in other areas, then, like in respite, though, which is a huge thing for families who are struggling. Like, we were at a meeting, we met with the minister last November, and we've highlighted these issues. Riverwalk Respite in Carndonagh has been closed for well over 2 years for various reasons. We were told at a meeting where the councillors and the TDs were at with HSE and ourselves in February, that with a good one, that this would be open in May, and it was just down to getting a nurse put in place. I came out of that meeting and I was chatting to somebody from HSE. They told me it wouldn't be open in September, and I was kind of shocked. And I said, well, we're not being told that. I'm telling you, that's not open in September. I got a letter from the HSE there last week. It's not going to be open in September. So I don't know, I just feel a bit let down. It's, you know, would have been disingenuous. And within that letter, they said it's down to the recruitment embargo. They never told us at that meeting that the respites came under the recruitment embargo, which is, again, I think is ridiculous. Like, you know, this is an essential service for families throughout the country. So it's back again that Letterkenny, and this is no disrespect to the rest of the county, Letterkenny is now providing most of the respite for the whole county. And with a week on, week off, adults to children, there's very few getting respite. And it's a lot of pressure on Ballymacool.
Yeah, it is.
We came up with an idea that could somebody go out and look at, like Ballymacool building, it's a huge building. And again, you people going in there with complex needs. Some people go in there and there's maybe only one person in over a weekend because, again, their complex needs, you know, they can't have other people maybe around them. We came up with the idea that maybe could go out and look at the building and could be segregated off into maybe three or four like apartments. And that was agreed that they'll go and look at it last November. Up until last week, nobody has come from estates. Estates are the people that look after all the buildings with HSE. Nobody from estates has been near Ballymacool. So there's, as I say, in recruitment end, there's positives, but there's other parts we're still, we have to keep the pressure on. And that's why these forums are so important, that people can come and their voices be heard, like, you know, where they're struggling, you know, what the struggles is, you know, because we will have CDNT management there, like, and we would have a good relationship with our local CDNT manager, and we do work well, but we have to keep the pressure on to get the service that these children need.
It's kind of worrying. I think it's kind of worrying when you talk about sort of the CDNT supports and then also the situation as it relates to respite and then education. Because there's a couple of stories that are about today. Firstly, of course, I presume there's been no change in Minister for Education, Norma Foley. She has changed the criteria for the allocation of special education supports for students. That's incredibly worrying for an awful lot of parents. The Irish Independent has a report out today which shows that special schools are in crisis. Their investigation reveals hundreds of children without places as demand soars. And then we learn that across the board, primary school funding is being slashed by €16 per pupil nationally, which is a big chunk that probably is going to have to be made up by parents down the line. But as it relates to the school population as a whole, but also children with special needs, there's no good news around today. And then when outside of the school situation where you're looking for respite for families, but also early intervention to try and best ensure these young people get the best chance possible. It's not a pretty picture, Leonard. I'm not trying to be negative here. I'm just looking at literally what's in the news today. It's just not a pretty picture.
I heard a figure last week. There's 23 children in Donegal that have not got a school place, and they vary on complex needs, but there's 23 children as of last week have no school place for September.
I just wonder what those figures will look like when the changed criteria for the allocation of SNAs to students. I just wonder what that's going to look like in August, September, October as we head into the new year as well. The figures might not look as bad as they actually are in reality, because children that need a particular attention aren't going to be getting it.
But Greg, at the end of the day, if a child needs an SNA, that it's there for two purposes, to help that child, but also to facilitate the teacher to be able to teach the rest of the class too. So without the help of SNAs, and the classroom doesn't work, unless you're in a special school like Little Angels. And again, Little Angels, new building, not ready yet. We don't know when it's going to be ready, but it's going to be too small. There's going to be a waiting list for Little Angels. And if this is a school, it's going to take a couple of years to build, and we're going to be putting children back into cabins up on the new site because it's totally oversubscribed. It's only school. That's a school that's covering nearly the whole county, which is, again, it's impossible to work with. Like, you know, you're not giving people the tools to help these children have the best life they can have.
There are thousands and thousands of people directly and indirectly affected by some of the issues we've been talking about. You hope they're well represented, I'd presume, at the Donegal North Family Forum taking place on Wednesday between 7 and 9 p.m. in the Radisson Blue Hotel. As you say, a whole range of experts. Anything else happening at that forum that you think is important to mention for potential attendees?
Well, Greg, the fact that the senior officer, senior officer is really, it's the person that gets the school ready for your child coming. The senior officer, the NEPs, and then the guidance officer, and from a personal level, the guidance officers for school leavers, well, we went through that process last year, absolutely brilliant. You know, it just takes the pressure off wondering what is coming after secondary school. So again, any families out there that are worried about their children going to school, within the school environment, or looking at school leaving, it's a good meeting for all that. But again, it's a meeting to come along and voice your frustrations or bring your questions, because you have CDNT management there, and We usually have therapists in that in the room too. They're all very good at that. They come and kind of show their support too. So again, as you said, it's 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the Resin Blue Hotel tomorrow night. And we just asked anybody who's involved with CDNT in the Donegal North area to come along.
Okay, Leonard, and it's important because some inroads have been made, and it's thanks to the mobilisation of parents and guardians. That's what's made any differences that have happened, and I think that momentum needs to be maintained, Leonard, because you can see how quickly it goes back when the pressure's not kept on, and it's not kept on in you know, the conversation's not been happening.
And Greg, can I just say, we are in the election mode, and I'll be asking people in the Nishon area and all other areas too, to ask the questions of the local representatives. Why is Cairn Donagh not opened? Why has East Donegal CDNT no base? You know, these are the questions that need to be asked. You know, and again, I'm saying we're looking at vulnerable children with complex needs at the centre of this here. So, you know, we really have to get our finger out and get this going, right?
As always, Leonard, thank you very much indeed. Keep up the great work, Leonard, amongst a whole host of parents working on behalf of parents affected by the issues that we've been discussing. And it's remarkable that it is the parents who are most affected that are having to be most active in just trying to get the best outcome for their children. It's nothing more than that, you know. It's just to make sure that every child in this country is treated fairly, that every child in this country gets equal opportunity, that every child in this country, children, our kids, that every child in this country gets the opportunity to the best that they can be in life. That's all we're talking about. It's not any special treatment or whatever. It's literally just to try and make sure that every child is treated as equally as possible and has the best opportunities and the best chance of full development, proper development, whatever development works for them. That's all we're talking about. You know, not anything beyond that. Okay, let's talk Eurovision now. Rachel, a coach, went over to the Eurovision and joins us to tell us about it now. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Greg. Good morning.
Right, what was it like in Malmo? What was it like in the actually being present for the final?
Oh, it was just spectacular. Now, I have to say, it was our second year. I went over with Mary, and our second year attending Eurovision live. And it's really difficult to describe the atmosphere and the buzz in the arena when you're actually watching it up front. You know, when you're in the arena seeing it live, it's a completely different experience to watching it on the television.
Who was the favourite actually in person? Spain seemed to get a huge response, but I mean, obviously, some of the feed that's sent to homes is not exactly what's happening, sort of in the concert.
Yeah, we were actually surprised that Spain didn't do better than they actually did in the voting system, but the buzz around Malmö at the time was definitely kind of directed towards a mixture of Switzerland, Croatia, and in some respects, the Netherlands as well, and the novelty acts like Finland, you know. So it was very hard to gauge, but we kind of had an inkling that Switzerland was going to win the whole thing outright, because the performance on the stage from Switzerland in the arena was so utterly breathtaking, between the acrobatics on the balancing platform. And the vocal performance was just stellar. So we kind of knew that Switzerland was probably going to have it in the bag.
Through Bambi, Thug Ireland did very well, placed sixth in the end. Could have been higher with a better public vote. How did Bambi Thug go down in person?
Oh, it was just absolutely phenomenal. Basically, the first semi-final that we went to, Bambi performed, and that was our first time seeing it live, and there was a spontaneous standing ovation in the arena from people from all the different delegations, all the different nationalities. So Bambi was incredibly popular with the actual Eurovision fans and the different delegations. And I have to say, we were so proud of Bambi, because the performance was out of this world, absolutely out of this world.
Yeah, and people are, I think, what is the Eurovision Song Contest for you? Because a lot of people saying, oh, well, Bambi Thug doesn't represent what Ireland is. I don't understand how people think that whatever artist is performing is actually a representation of the country that they're performing from. Do you know what I mean? For me, it just happens to be an artistic style that was sent over there. I mean, we're not going to stand on stage eating coddle and banging barons. Do you know what I mean? That's how do you define Ireland in 2024? So I don't really think, I mean, she represented, well, they represented Ireland, but I don't think it's a representation of Ireland. And people seem to get confused and politicize it, and it sort of gets into some sort of a culture war area. It's the Eurovision Song Contest, for crying out loud.
Well, that's it. I mean, you have to take these things with a pinch of salt and take them at face value, because all of that, you know, playing fiddles and harps and singing beautiful Collini, you know, on the stage, that's all very old hat now, and that does not do well at Eurovision anymore. I mean, I personally like that as well, but we have to understand that there are different genres of music that people like, and it may not be to everybody's taste. But for me personally, I thought the performance was stellar, and it was like a piece of art or a piece of theatre. It was like watching a music video playing out in front of you, and the mix-up of the different genres in the song actually made for a really interesting performance that went down really well with Europe in general. So I think that the days of sending, you know, somebody in an Irish dancing outfit to the Eurovision are long gone.
Yeah,
you know,
but I also think the days of thinking that a global or European-wide audience thinks that that is Ireland in a three-minute performance, that people are sharper than that. What was the reaction in person to Israel? Because what we got, obviously, was a manufactured sort of response. But did they get more love than you were expecting? No love? I don't know.
No, there was a lot of tension, I have to say, around Malmö in general and in the arena. And there was a very heavy police presence there. We had snipers on the roof and armoured vehicles, and you only had to walk two steps to encounter a cluster of policemen. And they had been drafted in from Norway and Denmark as well. So we were a little nervous about it, but we were adamant that we wanted to actually go there and boycott Israel in person by leaving the arena and doing a silent, peaceful protest. But when Israel actually performed, there was an awful lot of booing. Like, no violence kicked off. There was no scuffle in the arena or anything, because the security had been very tight. There were no bags allowed or anything like that. But when Israel actually performed, there was a very, very audible booing going on.
Okay, well, just stay where you are, because I want the audience at home to listen to listen again to this. This is the reaction that was fed to the audience on RTE and BBC, etc.
Yeah.
So that's very clearly an awful lot of cheering, but you say that wasn't representative of what happened on the night?
No, definitely not. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that in production they sucked out some of the booing and over, you know, covered it with canned applause, definitely.
Right, okay. Mary Lane's with us too. Is this your travel partner, Rachel?
Yes, it is indeed.
Mary Lane, you're probably sick and tired of listening to Rachel at this stage, are you?
No, I love Rachel. We've just had the best week ever.
I'm sure you
Hello,
did.
Hello, Rachel.
Hello, Greg.
Hi there.
Mary, what was your highlight of your experience?
Oh, I think the highlight was when Ireland, that moment when Ireland qualified.
Mm.
It was nearly out of body. I mean, the emotion, the support. I think what people don't realise is what an enormous love-in Eurovision is when you're there in person. Like, everybody is so supportive and loving towards everybody else. Now, obviously, there was the Israeli situation this year, which kind of makes my statement not quite universal, but by the same time, there's no nastiness either. But everybody's just rooting for everybody else. Everybody was loving Ireland and shouting "Crown the Witch" everywhere we went with our shamrock headbands on us. People were just shouting, you know, "Crown the Witch, go Ireland, we love your song." So then to watch Bambi perform live was really quite incredible. And then when they qualified, there were tears. There were all the tears, all the emotions. To be in the room when that happened was just fab.
Yeah, a caller says, I think the Eurovision has turned into a stage show that doesn't emphasise the song alone. It's about time the stage, it's about the stage show and getting a point across about such things as being non-binary, etc. Now, I don't know if there's a non-binary message in either of the winning songs, either Bambi Thugs or the original song. I think actually songs that were good songs, I mean, look at France, for an example. France did very well, and that was just pure vocal. So I think it is still a song contest, Mary, but I mean, obviously it's all the campness and the sparkles and the lights and the, you know, men stripped to the waist.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's so beautiful. And like, there's an awful lot of people that come to Eurovision to just be who they are. You know, like, it's so much more than the shows. There is a culture among massive Eurovision fans, which is so beautiful and open and together. And like there are still people in countries, in places, where the people don't feel that they can express themselves and be who they are. And they can come to Eurovision, which, like, to be very frank, it is a very LGBT-friendly environment to be in. And there are an awful lot of people who come there just to be themselves, just to be able to walk around in company of people like them and party and have fun. But the thing is, like I'm saying there, party. Like, there's nobody is drunk. There is nobody being loutish. There's nobody being morons about the place in the same way you might get at football matches and things like that. It's a beautiful, loving environment to be in, full of people who are there for music, for fun, for colour, for glitter, for sparkle. I mean, I walked around the whole weekend in dress and sequins. You know, I mean, daytime, nighttime, it didn't matter. I was walking around in my sequins top to toe because I can't do that on Letterkenny Main Street on a weekday. You know.
Are you sure you can't?
Well, am I might actually be persuaded now.
Rachel,
I might start trying.
Rachel, like, it is what it is, right? What surprises me is, like, if I wasn't in any way interested in the Eurovision, I wouldn't watch it. But there was actually a cohort of people watched it to be offended by it, you know, to say this is disgraceful, what's going on. But if you put it on in the corner of your room or in that little square over the top of your telly. And also, too, there were people very actively, and I think this is what skewed the public vote, sort of saying, I'm anti everything that's on this TV, so I'm going to vote Israel. Like, that's the kind of reaction we have in society nowadays, Rachel. Now people can vote wherever they want. I would never try and influence any way, shape, or form. But a protest at the actual event and the representation to some extent of LGBT people was a protest vote to vote for Israel.
Well, this is it. I mean, you'll always get people who don't like and don't get Eurovision, and that's fine. Each to their own. You know, different strokes for different folks. And you know, we love Eurovision, we love music, we love the performance. And as a stage show, it's utterly spectacular to be in the arena between the pyro and the tech that's going on, the lighting, the dancing, everything. So for the people that don't get it and don't like it, they're at liberty to turn it off and not watch it. But please don't ruin the experience for those of us that do love it. And I would also say, Greg, that, you know, there will be people that will say, oh, they're disgraceful going over there when Israel is performing, you know, you should be boycotting it. And what I would say to those people is, we went over there in peace and love as ambassadors of our country to represent the Irish fans, to do our best to spread peace, joy and love while we were over there. And we did remove ourselves from the arena when Israel was performing. And I felt it was much more effective to be there in person and to remove ourselves from the actual concert rather than sitting at home complaining about it and saying you shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah,
I mean, people can just switch off their TV sets.
I'm a massive fan of people having the freedom to do what they want to do. And to that extent, even I have issues when government overreach in terms of trying to control what we do. We don't need to do that to each other. For an example, I watched so much sport over the weekend, but I didn't watch the hurling. And the reason I didn't watch the hurling is because I've tried it and I don't really enjoy watching it as a television a spectacle. So I don't watch it. I don't watch it and go on Twitter and talk about and run hurling down and try and make people that enjoy it feel worse about themselves. But anyway, listen.
Exactly.
That everyone's different, but I think everyone should be allowed to, without harming others, live their life and enjoy what they want to. Right. Okay. A lot of people upset on text that Ireland, that Israel finished second in the public vote. Now, just the way that works, the vote is split up amongst 100 people. So Croatia could have got, say, 20% of the vote, and Israel could have got 19% of the vote and still finished second. So it doesn't, you have to dig a little bit deeper into how that vote's put together. But, you know, anyway. Okay, well, listen, Switzerland 2025, Rachel, are you on board? Mary, what do you think?
Oh, we've already provisionally booked our hotels in various cities that have large arenas. So
we're on the ball, Greg.
Well done, ladies. Well, listen, it's fantastic.
We're on the ball.
I'm glad he's enjoyed it, and memories for a lifetime as well.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
The thing. It is. It's a beautiful thing. And it's funny you saying about the sport thing as well, because people think we're mad in the amount of money that we spend going. But I think if someone goes to the World Cup because they love football, should they spend the same money doing that?
Oh, I would say as much going on to see Celtic Rangers as you did. Yeah. All right, then.
Exactly.
Rachel, thanks so much. Peace and love. Mary, take care of yourself. That's Rachel, a coach. And Mary Lane as well. They are two big Eurovision fans. They had a fantastic week over there and have already provisionally blocked. George says, bonkers, bring back Dana. Indeed, Dana was, but there's another thing too. Dana was completely overlooked or somewhat overlooked when RTE were doing a review of Ireland's achievements in the Eurovision. That also actually, I think, is a bit of a disgrace. There's lots of different decisions that don't make sense in all different areas. Greg, I cannot understand what kind of people in Ireland that gave any vote to Israel. They must be very ill-informed with regard to all the innocent people that Israel slaughtered, including 9,000 children. Another, is it remotely possible that the Eurovision public vote was based on the song and not on politics? You would think it's possible. Is it likely? I don't know. I don't know. What do you all think? Father Paul Farron is administrator at St. Eugene's Cathedral in Derry and joins me on the programme now. Father Farron, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing good. And it's the start today, isn't it, of a very busy week. Tell us what's happening.
Yes, we have our annual St. Therese Novena in St. Eugene's Cathedral this week. So we were up this morning for our first 6:30 Mass. And then we had Mass at 10, and we have evening devotions every evening, and we have a guest speaker coming each evening, and guest singers as well.
Yes, indeed, and a wonderful lineup of speakers. Sister Lucia, I know the Pope has spoken of Sister Lucia, is amongst a fantastic list of speakers.
Yes, we have on Wednesday night Sister Lucia speaking, and she's actually a remarkable nun. She has stayed in Ukraine on the front line to minister to people who have stayed and also to the soldiers there, and her bravery and her faith have been recognised throughout the world now. So she's coming on Wednesday. And then we have another nun this evening who's Sister Gilchrist, and she's from America, but she came from Norway, and she's a Trappist nun, and they very rarely get out of their monastery, but she's coming to speak because she had a wonderful experience about the will of God and how to do God's will and how God makes all things good. And in fact, her experience was so wonderful that when she wrote about it, Pope Francis commented on it. So she's a remarkable lady too, and she's coming to us tonight.
I think Sister Gilchrist is the person I was speaking of that the Pope may have commented on. And also different types of conversations as well. Tomorrow evening, Keith Graham from the Waterside, he will speak.
Yes, Keith is going to speak just about his journey to Catholicism, because in adult life he chose to be a Catholic, and he is now a member of the Catholic Church, and he's going to speak about what brought him to that point, which again will be wonderful, because often people are born and reared in the Catholic faith, and it's wonderful then to hear somebody speak about why they felt called to be Catholic in their adult life.
And also on Thursday, another interesting conversation from Joseph Kim and his, which I can imagine is a very interesting story.
Yes, he's a remarkable story. Joseph Kim was born in 1990 in North Korea. and he lived through the famine in the 90s in North Korea. In fact, his father died of starvation, but he escaped from North Korea, which is a very rare thing to do. And he escaped on foot and he crossed into China, and then eventually he made it to the United States. But Joseph met a man. He wrote a book called Under the Same Sky, and it's a wonderful book about his early life and his escape. And he met a man in North Korea who actually had got to China but was caught and sent back. But the man said to him, he said, if you get to China, he said, find the Christians, because they will give you money. And Joseph never heard of a Christian at all. And he said, well, what are Christians? And the man said to him, he said, oh, they're strange people. They give money to people they don't know. So, but Joseph was so taken by Christianity that he, in fact, became a Christian himself. You know, so there's a great witness to faith and to the will of God right throughout the week. And there's also a great community spirit, and with the different people, like David James will sing tonight at the ceremony, and we have the Pink Ladies Choir, we have the St. Eugene's Cathedral Choir, we have the McGinley School, we have our own folk choir, St. Mary's College, all different groups and choirs coming to sing, and there's a great spirit of joy. And I would say, like, it's miraculous that we've got these speakers, literally miraculous, and I think that it proves that there will be great miracles here this week too.
What from previous events do you hear from those who attend? I mean, you talk of joy. There's a mass also too on Saturday at 10 a.m. celebrated for all of those who died. So there's an option throughout the week too for healing.
Yes, it is a time for healing. Like many, we all carry our own cares and our worries. And I would say there's nobody in the world that doesn't need a miracle. And it is a time where faith is celebrated and where there's a confidence in our faith. Just like St. Thérèse of Lisieux, who told us, you know, when you're praying, only ask for the impossible. And it actually makes sense, because we can do the possible ourselves, but it's God we need to, if we want the impossible, and that's miraculous. And people here, they come in their hundreds, and there's a real, you can feel the faith and the joy and the healing that comes, you know, and, you know, burdens are eased here, and it is because of the act and the will of God.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, because of time and because of such a busy program, we've only been able to speak about a certain amount of things, but you've talked about lots of stuff that's happening over the week. Father, is there a place that people can go sort of to find out what's happening over the course of the week and maybe see what fits with their times?
Yes, they can go to the St. Eugene's Cathedral web page or the Facebook page. They can contact the cathedral by just calling us on 02871-365-712, and just come to the cathedral, come to the early morning mass at 6:30, or come at 10, come each evening at 7:30. And we also have confession, the sacrament of confession, on demand this week. There's a bell at the confessional. If you ring the bell, a priest will pop up and free you from the burden of your sins. So, like, we're here to serve, and we're here to allow God's healing and peace to enter into people's lives, and we welcome everybody and anybody.
Okay, and obviously a great deal of organisation and things coming together with, I think you've referenced yourself, Father, divine intervention required to make it so. Hopefully those like yourself who've spent so much time putting effort into this are able to relax, not relax, but just have the space to enjoy the week now that all the hard work hopefully is done.
Yes, hopefully. It's great. It's a wonderful week. It's a blessing to have it.
Okay, Father Paul Farron, thank you very much for your time. Greatly appreciated.
Not at all. Thank
you. Take
care.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Father Paul Farron there, who's the administrator at St. Eugene's Cathedral, Derry. It's a busy week of events and some very interesting speakers. You can go to St. Eugene's Cathedral website to get more information. We'll actually maybe try and dig out that link and put it on our social media too, in case that's easier for you just to click through.